State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Wake that ass up. The Breakfast Club is on.
I am feeling blessed. I'm talking to the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to you.
A lot of people in the hip-hop generation, the Breakfast Club is where people get the information on the topics, on the artists, and everything like that. In that aspect, radio is still important.
The Breakfast Club.
When my name come up, respect it.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Janae.
Hey, Janae, where you calling from?
In Brockton.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Brockton, Massachusetts, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Janae.
So I'm sorry.
I said good morning.
Oh, good morning, everybody in there. So last week you guys had, I want to say her name is Lynn Whitfield. Dr. Lynn Whitfield, is that her name?
No, Lynn Richardson. What's Lynn's last
name? Yeah, Lynn Whitfield's an actor.
Dr. Lynn Richardson.
In Line Between Love and Hate.
Oh, she was encouraging people to, like, invest in their 401ks, I believe. That's what I heard. Mm-hmm. I'm a financial therapist myself. A lot of people don't know that 401ks are, like, a secret partnership with the government. And the government's never our friend. So we've been helping people roll their money over from 401ks because COVID hit. A lot of people took massive hits into their plans, and a lot of people don't know what they're investing into when they do it. But I don't know if she knows that, because we've been educating people who've been in business for like 30 plus years, lost a few businesses due to COVID, but now we're like saving them so that they can cover all their I call it CYAA, cover your ass and your assets.
Mm-hmm. Cover your, what did you say? Cover your assets and eat your assets. That sounds wild.
Now, I want to
ask in your asset.
I have a financial question about that then. Because I know a lot of times people encourage you to invest in the 401k because your company, if your company doesn't match. And then the second question I have, is it a good idea to take that money out when it's down?
So there's four tanks of life, and that's what we go around and teach people, because there's a fourth tank. There's a lifetime income tank where you can, we make a lot of money in our lifetime just by graduating from college and whatever the case may be. So yeah, the match is good. We always tell people, do the match. Don't go above your match, because you're pretty much giving free money to the government. Mm-hmm. And the tax frame right now is like, what, 30%, 37%, I believe. So if they want to take 50%, they can, and there's nothing you can do. So people, depending on how much is in your 401k, you can roll it over and take no hit. That's called a 1035 exchange, so you can move that over there, and then you don't get penalized.
Thank you.
Well, damn, Emmy.
Damn, if you just hung up on her, why?
No, I put her on hold.
I think you hung up on her because you don't want her competing with Lynn Richardson.
I think Lynn Richardson was kind of wrong in some of the things she said. But
okay.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Isaiah from Maryland.
Hi, Isaiah from Maryland. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
God bless, black and highly favored. What's happening?
What's going on?
First of all, I wanted to congratulate you all for 10 years. Especially like you three and also like all of your crew. This is a great job, and thank you for doing everything that you do. Also, I wanted to ask Envy about real estate. Like, how did you get into it? And like, what made you want to do that?
I wanted to get out of my mama's house. My dad's a police officer. He's a retired police officer, and his rules were very strict, and I wanted to get out. So I saved my money, and I bought a house that was like an hour and 40 minutes from my job, but at least I had a home. And after falling asleep a couple of times driving home, I decided to sell a house after like 4 or 5 months. And when I sold the house, I made like $100,000 in those 4 or 5 months, and then I just started buying houses and flipping them.
I'm sorry, what about
you? How did I get into real estate? I mean, I first bought my first house like 6.5 years ago, a two-family house, so that I would have some income coming in to help pay the mortgage. Then I bought 3 different properties in Detroit, and then I bought a couple more properties in Brooklyn as investments.
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Yeah, well, now's the time. I bought my first home at 22 years old. I bought my first property at 22.
Thank you.
And now's the time, because money is cheap.
I wanted to thank
you. Now's the time. Money is cheap. That means the interest rates are very low. It's the lowest we've ever seen. It's like 2.7. You can even get 2.6, between 2.6 and 2.8. So that means money is low. That means they're not charging that much interest.
Also, I wanted to thank Charlamagne for sending me his book last week. And I wanted to ask Envy, why you got to air out people all the time?
Why do I air out people?
Because he's a snitch. That's what snitches do.
All right, well, thank you guys for accepting my call. I love you all.
Yes, sir.
All
right. Love you too, brother.
The real reason is Charlamagne told 6ix9ine he would do something to him. So I'm hoping that Charlamagne one day say he'll do that to me. That's why I'm going to keep snitching it to you.
No, what I told, what I did with 6ix9ine was called hyperbole, sir.
Thank you.
Okay?
Can't hear you. You got something in your mouth?
It's called a mask.
Get it off your chest.
Anybody check your temperature?
800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'm dialing.
Hey, what you doing, man?
I'm calling you.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is T from Cali.
T from Cali.
What's up, T from Cali?
What's going on, Breakfast Club? DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee. First and foremost, I just wanted to congratulate y'all on 10 years.
Thank you,
y'all,
King.
Y'all was able to interview President Barack Obama, and right after that, y'all hit y'all 10 years. So that's a big props up to you.
Thank you, brother.
You know, and then I want to say what my best moment was, hands down, last year when y'all did Trav versus Sean Stone.
Oh, that was classic.
Classic. And then not only that, he called in, and then he voted for himself.
Oh, yeah. When he tried to do his fake, he did the fake voice.
Yeah, like we don't see him every day. I hope you call up and say something about this. But, you know, props to y'all, and y'all keep doing y'all thing. Hopefully y'all get another 10 years.
All right, brother. Hello, who's this?
You? What's up, Envy?
Yo, somebody was just talking about you a second ago.
Who was talking about you?
You had an admirer who said that one of his favorite Breakfast Club moments of the past decade was when you bodied Sean Stone.
Oh, my goodness. Do y'all know what I was calling about?
Wow.
No.
I was calling to tell y'all my favorite Breakfast Club moment.
Which is?
When I dragged his body, porta potty guy, all over this radio, dragged him.
That's what I'm talking about.
You sure did.
Drop one of Clues Bonds for Trav just because, man.
Iconic moment. Oh, iconic moment.
I agree.
Well, I definitely want to say congratulations to y'all on 10 years, man. I've been like riding with y'all for the longest.
I appreciate you, Trav. Trav, let me ask you a question. You doing Elf on the Shelf, Reindeer in Here, or St. Nick on the Which one are you doing?
St. Nick on the
Okay, true.
Goodness gracious. Bye, Trav. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Chili Chill. Good morning, Envy, Charlamagne, Chili Angela Yee. Good morning to y'all, man.
I don't like your nickname this time of year. It's too cold.
It's a beautiful day for me. I ain't called y'all in a while because I knew the next time I called, I wanted to have something to really call about. I closed on my house Friday.
Congrats, bro.
It's been a hard year already with the coronavirus, and I've just been diligent, doing my due diligence, just disciplining myself, buckling down for my fiance and my son, man. Shout out to Erica Sibley. I love you, baby. Shout out to my son, Royal. 19 months, batting 89% on the potty. You know what I'm saying? I love it, man.
Yo, that's real.
Yeah, man. Like I'm a young black man just trying to make it in this crazy world, man. And it's been hard. But I don't let the struggles try to defeat me, man, because the struggle is to survive, but to survive is to find some meaning in the struggling.
That's right, my brother.
And I live by that. Another thing, my little sister, Angela Woods, Angela Adams now, because she's married, she moved out to Cali about eight, nine years ago, and she's been thriving out there, too. She lives in Sacramento now, and I just wanted to shout out her organization, Christian Modeling Association. You can follow her at Sticks, STIKKS Modeling. She runs a modeling business to help Christians enter the modeling industry without compromising their Christianity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And Charlamagne, I know you into self-help books and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
She has a published book called This Can Help Someone. It's endorsed by Shaquille O'Neal. It got the BMW Pay It Forward Award. That's thriving also. If people can go check that out. But man, it's a beautiful day for me in my world, man. And I just want to just put that positivity out there, man.
We will do, King. Have a great day.
Absolutely, man.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-105.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best.
The Breakfast Club is back with another memorable interview.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line right now, Chris Rock.
The legend. Yeah. The walking legend. Memorial.
There you go.
Chris Rock.
Walking memorial.
Remember Jay said that on the Hustling remix. Jay-Z said, I'm a walking memorial. Only a few people get that, by the way.
Okay. I'll take it.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. You've lived through a lot of these injustices, cops getting no punishment for things that happen to black people. How do you feel today?
You know, there's two levels. A, you're disappointed and you're hurt by what happened. It's not just the cops. Remember, everyone in the chain of command should have been
judicial system. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whoever signed the papers that said, okay, go get her, you know, go get them, should be in there too. I'm also just upset that I'm used to this. You know what I mean? So it's sad that we're just here, you know, and her name is going to go on a stack of other names.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a chance that 3 months from now that we're so busy with the next one that we forget about Breonna. That's you know, yeah. not on purpose, but it's just, you know, the bodies just keep piling up.
What do you tell your daughter? You know, because your daughter is out there, she's in school, and what do you tell her? How do you tell her to move to make sure that she's safe?
You know, fortunately, you and I and everybody, you know, us five being, you know, on the radio right now, we live lives that, because of our economic status, we're not exempt from what's going on, mm-hmm. but we kind of, you know, we're kind of on a hill, and we get to watch what's going on. So we're a little a tad safer. But yes, I do tell my daughters to keep their eyes open and their ears and be alert and just know where they are at all right. times. But, you know, we've been blessed. So I'm not really worried about the cops knocking down my door right now. But I realize that, you know, that it's not even about my daughters. It's like my cousins and my nephews and, you know, right. that have like normal jobs that are really out there.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because I remember watching you getting pulled over all the time, and you're rich, you're famous. How have you ever felt free in this country? You can't possibly feel exempt.
No, I don't feel like, I wouldn't say exempt, but I do, you know, like when you punch my name up, even if you don't recognize me, somebody says something.
Right.
You know, I don't want to sound like a rapper, but I am Chris Rock, and you know, membership has its privileges, but every now and then you forget your card.
Yeah.
And then you can't get in.
That's very true.
Chris, you were in Yellow Springs. How was that for you performing in the cornfield?
I love Yellow Springs. People that don't know Yellow Springs, Dave Chappelle, the honorable, all praises due to honorable Dave Chappelle, is kind of running like a comedian summer camp in Yellow Springs, Ohio. That's his hometown. And Dave's kind of like the unofficial mayor of the town. And he, you know, Dave's got a bunch of land, and he kind of set up a stage in a cornfield. And it's everybody's socially distanced. We all got rapid COVID tests. So you land, your plane lands, you get off the plane, you get tested. You wait your 15 minutes or 20 minutes, however long it takes. And once you get your negative test, then they give you a wristband. And you get
were you nervous while you were waiting for your results? Were you nervous?
I've been pretty separated. You know, I haven't been, you know, in the clubs, in the underground clubs.
the flight, you know, traveling.
No, I got my own plane.
He didn't fly. He didn't get there the same way you got there, Yee.
Yeah, we definitely weren't on the same plane.
Again, hit me up. You can get on my plane. We'll cool. It's all good.
All right, we got more with Chris Rock when we come back. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne Tha God here, and I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to all my credit card scammers out there. Tis the season to find you a scammer friend so you can save some money in any major department store in America.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Chris Rock.
How many calls did you get from the Democratic Party after your statement that Democrats worsened COVID-19 by focusing on impeachment over the pandemic? Or did you even get calls from the other side? Like, would you like to come on Fox and talk about it?
No, here's what happened. And here's the problem with everybody. No one reads the whole thing. Everybody just reads the headline.
The headline. Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this, a friend of mine, Mark Benioff, he owns a Salesforce. You know Salesforce, that computer software company? They have buildings everywhere. Mm-hmm. He called me up and goes, oh, you are absolutely right. Now, it's the billionaire calls me up and tells me you are absolutely right. You know why? Because the billionaire read the whole article. And in the article, I say Donald Trump is like the movie The Last Emperor. He's a five-year-old running the country. Now, if you think a five-year-old is running the ship, you have a responsibility to actually look for the icebergs. Now, that's what I really meant to say. Mm-hmm. So if Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats believe Donald Trump is competent and they just disagree with his policies, then everything I said was wrong, and I apologize. But if you believe Donald Trump is totally incompetent, immoral individual who shouldn't be president and is unqualified to do this job, then yes, it is your job to not get caught up in emotion and to actually look for the icebergs that are coming towards America.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, yes, it is. I'm a Democrat. I'm for Biden. I'm all, you know what I mean? I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
But as the smarter people, you have more responsibility.
That's where the checks and balances come in.
I agree.
You said folks give Adam Sandler the benefit of the doubt when it comes to weird roles, and you want that for yourself. What did you mean by that, Chris? Because some people would say, Chris...
I think Adam Sandler was robbed. I mean, I thought Joaquin was great in The Joker, but man, how did Adam Sandler not get nominated? All this role stuff, whatever, that's literally my best friend. I love him like a brother. And he was robbed for Uncut Gems.
That's a good movie.
You're working on a new movie with him, right?
Yeah, it's weird. It's like all this therapy and all this stuff is like I got my brain back. Like I was having a hard time concentrating. But now I'm just writing a lot lately. So I wrote the script about a year ago for me, Adam, and Dave. And it looks like because there's no touring, it looks like it's closer to happening.
That's dope.
Check out the new season of Fargo. It premieres on the 27th of September. And we appreciate you for joining us, Chris.
For inspiring to learn how to swim, because I don't know how to swim, but I love the fact that you went out there and did it.
I'm telling you, I got a guy. He'll hook you up.
Like, I got a guy.
I do not know how to swim. It's embarrassing.
To 3 weeks.
Your whole life will change. How you do everything will change.
One last question is quick. In terms of opportunity, is it better to be black now in entertainment or in the 90s?
Or in the 90s? Mm-hmm. I mean, the beauty of being black is the future's always better. There are no good old days.
Musically, right?
Maybe musically. I will definitely
Yo. All right.
Bro, that's so
over the baby. But,
My goodness.
All right. You don't have no good old days. No, that is
all
crazy.
Right. Well, it's Chris Rock. Thank you for joining us. It's the Breakfast Club. Good
Chris,
morning.
Thank you, brother. King.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Good morning. If you just joined us, we're just asking. I'm asking a serious question, right?
No, I'm asking a serious question.
Charlamagne, if you listen to the Breakfast Club for the last 10 years...
That is a lie.
You notice that I really think he's a little funny and...
Funny as how? What you mean? Like ha-ha funny?
I don't know if it's ha-ha funny.
Like, what do you mean? What kind of funny?
I don't know if it's ha-ha funny or are you serious, but he flirts with me all the time.
I'm not flirting with you. The problem is Angela Yee been off all week. And being that Angela Yee been off all week, you've been really, really, really flirting. And the final scroll off Muse, when you played Trey songs about 10, 15 minutes ago and kept looking at me as you were playing the new Trey songs.
I think that's
disrespectful to my wife.
Well, let's go to the phone lines. A lot of people out
there. What is the question we're asking?
The way you flirt with me, is it disrespectful?
No, it's the way you flirt with me disrespectful. No, that's the question.
Flirt with me. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
Is the way that he flirts with me disrespectful?
No, is the way that Envy flirts with me disrespectful?
Yes, it's disrespectful to your wives and to yourself because y'all not bisexual. Y'all should be flirting with each other.
Whoa. Wow. So we disrespecting both our wives is what you're saying?
Yes, that's not right. You know, I was in a relationship where the dude was gay and was hiding it. So they don't feel good on the woman's behalf.
So you think that we actually flirt with each other?
Yeah, y'all be flirting with each other. I listen to y'all every morning.
I don't flirt with him.
So this is like a thing. Like, this is really, like, they all really think we'd be flirting
and
with each other.
She's an expert on this, by the way.
She's definitely an expert. Hello, okay. Who's this?
This is Tom. This is All One Rome from Amityville.
Tom, hey, this up, is a safe space, Tom. So I need you to answer a question for me. Is it disrespectful to my wife the way Envy flirts with me?
The way he flirts with me? Is it disrespectful to my wife?
It's so disrespectful, Envy, that you don't accept the love that this man has given to you, bro.
Wow.
Charlamagne is showing you the love, Envy. Take that love, bro. That love, man.
I think
your
maybe
wife
you
understand. She understands. Poopy Boy Sting is on. Let her know. You know. know what I mean? Let her know. Uzi Boy Senior is on deck. Tell your son, tell his friends, say, yo, they'll get over it. Tell them boys, they know they poopy boys. Their father's just not on the radio.
My goodness, goodbye. Yeah. Hello, who's this?
This is Roya from Brooklyn.
Hey, Ray from Brooklyn. Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Nah, Brooklyn, not Brooklyn.
Royal.
Royal? Oh, can I need to ask you a question. Is it disrespectful the way Envy flirts with me? Is it disrespectful to my wife?
Is it disrespectful the way he flirts with me to my wife?
Okay, first of all, Uncle Sharla,
yes,
you know you talk about Envy butt all the time.
See?
You are the one who bring up the butt jokes, the gay jokes, the everything when it comes to poor DJ Envy booty.
Me?
See?
You know it's you, Uncle Sharla.
See? Yes.
Every time Envy even say anything that may refer to something that's not even on topic, you make it that way.
See?
That is impossible. Like, I did not invent a remix.
Thank you so much. See, it's the truth. He's disrespectful, right?
No problem.
So you trying to say Envy never flirts with me?
No, I don't. You always flirt with me. Hello, who's this?
This is Kim.
Kim, do you think it's disrespectful to my wife the way this guy flirts with me?
No, Kim, is it disrespectful to my wife the way Envy flirts with me?
Charlamagne, come on now. I have to tell the truth.
Okay.
This is Kim the Healer on the line. You are always messing with DJ Envy.
I'm poopy finger?
Envy, you know Charlamagne is always messing with you, so it's Charlamagne who starts it.
Right?
What?
Doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Thank you so much, Kim.
This is unfair. Who is taking these calls?
I'm just going through them random.
Wow.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Graylin Hart, straight out of St. Louis, Missouri, your city finest.
You're talking up, a little too fast. Slow down. What's your name now?
Graylin Harden, straight out of St. Louis, Missouri, your city's finest.
Okay.
All right, Harden.
Do you think it's disrespectful the way Envy's wife, I mean, the way Envy's, do you think it's disrespectful to my wife the way Envy flirts with me?
Or my wife the way he flirts with me?
Hold on. Neither one of y'all should be flirting with each other. That's our way against the rules.
What rules?
No flirting with too.
You know what? That was a rule in the 50s and 60s, too, I remember. Especially down south. All right? Before the civil rights movement.
No flirting with
and in a lot of different neighborhoods now, there's still that rule. Okay? All right? I understand you. I get what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from.
Hello, who's this?
This is Tasha.
Hey, Tasha. I'm just asking a question. Is it disrespectful to my wife the way this guy flirts
Tasha,
with me?
Tasha, is it disrespectful to my wife the way Envy flirts with me? Come on now.
Honestly, if I was either one of your guys' wives, I would find it totally disrespectful the way that you guys flirt with each other.
What?
I don't flirt with him.
You do. Both of you flirt. And I'm curious to know who started it.
Envy!
He did.
I mean, it's one thing to be cool with your man, your friend, have a romance and all that, but some of the stuff y'all say is crazy.
Like
I
what?
Would be like, if I was married...
Like what?
First of all, the little booty jokes and stuff, all that is like overboard to me.
Tasha,
if
let
I
me
was
tell
your
you
wife... And I heard another man commenting about my man's butt.
I ain't never commented on his butt.
I ain't never commented on his butt.
Yes, both of you have. Both of you have. And if I was the wife, I know that you guys are just playing, but it's like, man, it's so common. Y'all always do it.
Let me tell you something.
Like,
can I tell you a story? Can I tell you a story?
Oh, you go ahead. What story you want
to
tell me?
When I moved back to New York almost 10 years ago, there was a woman at an apartment complex, and... She told me, she said, Charlamagne, come here, I need to talk to you. She said, you really need to watch out for DJ Envy. I said, why? She said, because he's got a little friend that he visits over here that looks just like you. I think you're his type. She says, short,
what?
Short, bald head, same complexion. And he comes over here all the time.
That was my friend, Little Sean, that I went to college with. That's one of my best friends. I used to go visit him all the time. He used to stay in the apartment building as Charlamagne. That's why she said that. But let's talk about the guy that got on YouTube and was like, his name was Glitter Stick, and he said that you used to take a bus to come see him and give him that painty.
Boy, that's...
Wait a minute now. Both of y'all deflecting. Neither of those situations have to do what y'all do to each other constantly.
Goodbye, Taz. We don't want to talk to you.
Neither one of y'all, side got anything to do with y'all.
Let's go to one person. Peace and blessings. Who's this?
Hey, it's me, man. You're using my phrase on the radio.
Oh, Sean Stone.
Sean Stone. I meant to put something in your Cash App the other day. No, I did, for real. But that wasn't the right. You sent me the wrong Cash App.
All right, so, Sean, let me ask you a question. You listen to the show every morning, right?
Sean.
Yes. The way this man flirts with me, is it disrespectful to my wife?
No, is it disrespectful to my wife the way Envy flirts with me?
So the thing is, I've been listening to this show for mad long. Charlamagne, you will lose this game. The reason why, even the listeners you flirt with, a dude could call on the radio and say something crazy, and you'd be like, you flip it around. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you will lose this game. You brought Envy your butt, a mole butt of your butt.
See?
So you flirt with Envy way too much, bro.
See?
So I think your wife will be upset. Envy's wife will be upset at you, son.
Thank you.
Son, who asked you? Nobody asked you. Did somebody ask Sean? Did we ask Sean? I don't remember asking Sean.
I asked him. All right. There's no moral of the story. Stop flirting with me.
The moral of the story is, let's get a room. No.
What? I ain't playing with it, man. This guy is crazy. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The Breakfast Club is back.
Back
with our best of interviews.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Hart.
What up? Kevin. Am I on the line or am I on a? What? This ain't a line.
Well, come on now. You're looking every bit of 40 plus right now. Now stop.
You close.
What?
Came in hot. My bad. I came in aggressive. My bad.
Just back up a little bit.
My bad.
Just to let you know, Angela Yee's a little twisted. She went out last night.
Yeah, she drunk. She had a good time last night.
She's a little intoxicated, just to let you know.
Good for you.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, you are drunk. Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So you're working already this morning?
Yeah, I'm on set. I'm in Toronto. I'm shooting a movie called Man from Toronto, so my call times be pretty early. So right now you're in my humble abode. This is my trailer. This is my home away from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw you enjoying yourself the 2 Chainz Gray Area yesterday on set when you had Woody Harrelson acting like he had some rhythm.
Yeah, for a second. You know, I was in there feeling myself, man. It was a big day for me, my special release yesterday. So
congrats.
Thank you, man. Zero f's given. So I stepped on set with zero f's to give and showed that while basically keeping my headphones on, listening to a tired song, and Woody didn't know what was happening, so he started dancing with me. It was a good time. You had to be there.
So you filmed that whole special in your house?
Yeah, the whole special was from the comfort of my own home.
So you were by yourself, so there was just your family was your fans and your crowd?
No, we did. I did it to where I had people come to We did like a or because of COVID, mm-hmm. so you had to do like audiences, but they had to go through regulations. They had to do the protocols, you know, the COVID checks, and we had to get them tested, and they had to get tested 3 days before, et cetera. It was a lot, but we pulled it off. The whole point behind it was just to put a creative aspect back on my side of comedy that was away from what I've done in the past. So we went to the highest of the high with the stadiums, the theaters, the arenas. And in this one, it was about going backwards and going back to the intimate setting. And that intimate setting was one of what felt and looked like a living room. And it was more of a conversation than a performance, you know, an honest conversation with my point of view and how I feel about a lot of things today in my life. You know, everything is coming from my life, my experiences, my feelings. And the biggest frustration is just people and just the times. So I tried to do it in a way to where I could be truthful, but still get some laughs and still be funny. But in the most way, just say, y'all annoying as now. You know, people are they've turned into some annoying people. And this is why I feel that way.
Is that why at the end of the special, you talk about you tell your wife you had a bad dream that you did a stand-up saying things you would never say? Was that your personal way to kind of like protect yourself against these cancel culture people?
Yeah, you know, look, what people truly don't understand is that, you know, now I'm a CEO. I'm a CEO of a lot of different things. So, you know, my actions become falls for so many. So the shit that I say and do that could be considered or deemed bad or inappropriate, you know, it can be life-changing for the people that work underneath my umbrella, whether it's for Heartbeat, whether it's for Laugh Out Loud, whether it's for Laugh Out Loud Radio. I mean, Heartbeat Ventures, I can go on and on. Nobody even has an idea.
Don't forget our company.
Nobody even has an idea how many entities I have. So as you build these things, underneath it, there's a pyramid. There's a bunch of branches to a tree. So my consequences are real. So I have to walk on eggshells, mm-hmm. because everything at this level is a thing or becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing is brushed over. So, you know, and me doing and joking about the things that I joked about at the end, saying it was a bad dream, you know, that was my way out of it. I can't even tell you how many things I've already got about the joke, you know, where I say my daughter might be a hoe. This is a whole activity.
Mm-hmm. I saw people writing about that already.
Already got that. What else? There was the things about, you know, my ex-wife, that's come up. There's me and my attitude for being privileged in life. That's now a thing. You know, I'm complaining about that and my child's affiliation with me and my lifestyle. Why is he complaining? Everything becomes a thing. The world,
it just came out yesterday. So people are already complaining about it.
You know, people already get shit to say.
Yeah.
I mean, for the large portion of it, it's an amazing response. I already see and know what the numbers are, which is astronomical. But I'm just saying that there's, in this time, what really is the key thing that people gravitate towards is just something to say.
Now, how did you deal with the pandemic? Because you are somebody that always travels, always on the road, always working, but now you had to sit your ass down. So how was that for you?
And you had coronavirus.
It was tough. You know, you got to think about it, man. I've been home for, it's going on a year, over a year now. Because mm-hmm. I got injured. Remember my back?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was sat down for that. And then after that, the pandemic hit. So I literally did, this was a result of the pandemic. I was home and I was like, yo, I got to figure it out. I got to do something. I got to put the pen to the pad. So I started to create the stand-up, and when they finally opened up Los Angeles, I went and found like a restaurant that was outside, mm-hmm. and it was like 10 people, you know, that would come, 10 to 12 people that would come here on a daily, and you couldn't legally do shows or performances in California. So it just looked like I would pop up at the same time every day while these people were there, and they would just get a surprise hour of me working out jokes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started to work on the material. And I did that for like 3 months. And I was like, yo, I think I got it. I got my special. I'm gonna do this from my house. Mm-hmm. But that
you can't say I think I got it at a time like this, Kev.
Well,
Kevin Hart is here. We got more with Kevin Hart when we come back. Dope Move is specialist out right now.
Zero F's given.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I'm always right, so I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Kevin Hart. He has a specialist out right now.
You know, Kev, I was on Twitter yesterday because I saw your name trending, so I clicked on it just to see if it was one of the jokes or something that pissed people off. But it wasn't. It was a lookalike from Zambia.
He stole your face.
I thought it was somebody playing with a filter on social media. I'm not gonna lie.
No, that's him. That's him. Scary.
Yeah.
That's him. That's cool. Like, you know when people say somebody look like you, you look at them, and you're like, man, I may not be attractive. Like, I may be up in the face. And then I was like this. This guy actually looks like me. Like, it's not a joke.
No, it's not.
My brother. He looks exactly like we were birthed from the same woman. But I thought he was playing with a filter. Like
me
one
too.
Of the things. But that's him. That's the second time I've seen it.
That's crazy.
Did you reach out to him at all? Because when you see it, like, do you hit him up and be like, yo, you really do look like me?
No, that's weird. What am I saying? I seen you
starting to ride bikes now.
Man, I'm out there. I'm on the road bikes heavy.
Charlamagne was making fun of me because I wear my little gel pants. And I'm like, the little gel pants got pad your ass.
Hey, I talked about that in the special. It was all good till I gave somebody that visual. You know, it was the morning time. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. I was at the lowest point of mass. But, you know, I'm out there. I'm miles right now. I'll give you, you know, anywhere between that 18 to 25 mile ride just as a casual ride. And I think when I get back to some good weather, I'm going to start pushing it. Probably try to put in somewhere around 125 miles a week. That's my new thing. You got to get hobbies. I'm getting old, man. Yeah.
Now, go back to your twin real quick. Have you ever done your DNA, your ancestry test, to see where your roots come from?
Oh, yeah, all the time. No, Charlamagne.
I'm just trying to you got family in Zambia, that's all.
Who cares? Who cares? Yeah, Charlamagne, all the time. I check my DNA. Yeah. I did my latest check yesterday. Who gives a f***? I'm not checking to see who I got, where I've never been. What do you want me to do when I find them? What do you want me to do?
Just to know you got the connection to the motherland, that's all.
Do what?
You say, what's up, cousins? I'm coming to do a show out there.
I never understood that. That's not my cup of tea. When people want to find family, then they go do that awkward meeting. Hey.
You know, one of my homegirls found out that her dad wasn't her real dad from doing her DNA test, and she actually found her real father. But her whole life, she thought this man was her dad.
And you know what that's called? That's called the truth. You go searching for it, you'll find it.
You'll get it.
What was wrong with the dad you had? What to make you go?
Her real dad is way more successful.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what was wrong with the dad she had? Why did you start? What happened one day to make you say?
No, she wasn't looking for it. She did her DNA test, and that's how she happened to find out.
Why is my question? Why? What was wrong with what you thought your DNA was?
I get what you're saying.
Nothing wrong. I don't know why I'm going to go and search to see what may or may not be. Everything's been cool thus far.
Yeah.
Don't this up. I don't want to know nothing. I got no desire to know nothing.
She was looking for her roots to see like where her ancestry was from.
She been crying ever since. She ain't been the same ever since. Now she's confused, trying to force a relationship with a man that's still.
I guess so, because then her real father's wife is mad about it, and her father's wife is like, oh, she wants money, but it's really her dad. So.
Dude, so what? That dad is just gonna turn on love? How old is she?
She's grown. She's like 40.
Yeah, I blame this one on you being drunk, Ange. I'm gonna blame this one on you having a good time last night.
You watch the verses? Are you into verses?
Yeah, I've watched them.
Jeezy Gucci, who you have?
I don't know, man. Don't seem safe. I don't know. I ain't in it.
I did see you at Dave Chappelle in Ohio. I saw you do your stand up there, and that's where you revealed that you actually had coronavirus.
Yes, yes. I went down to Camp Chappelle. That's what I call it. Dave is taking over this area in Ohio, man. He's turned it into something very amazing for the economy there. He was doing shows through the pandemic. He was basically giving jobs to thousands of people who had lost them. You know, he really kept a large part of that city afloat. Mm-hmm. And I came down to do one of the shows. This is when I got real comfortable with the set. So I wanted to see what the reception was, what it was going to be. And, you know, Dave set it up nice. I went down there, did well, got to see his whole layout, what he's doing, what the plans are. And it was mind-blowing. It was mind-blowing. But I'm thankful for that, because that was one of the tests that I needed outside of the small environment that I was performing in to see where the jokes were. So that's when it gave me confidence that the set was where I wanted it to be.
I want to ask you about one of your jokes from the special, Zero F's Given. Have you actually been to Seinfeld's house?
Yes, but it wasn't for what I did in the joke.
Okay.
The bomb came from somebody else. That came from another person, a white person with brick oven pizza. It was just funnier to put Seinfeld on it.
Got you.
Okay.
You know, Zero F's Given. And then I go, I had a dream. I was at Seinfeld's house. Everything that was the dream, calling my daughter a hoe, all the bad things, that's the dream. That's the thing that I wish I could say and joke around with.
Gotcha.
Seinfeld was a part of that part. But, you know, people probably now say Kevin's a f-ing liar, f-ing him. He was never there. Piece of shit. Who knows what they'll say, Charlamagne. Thank you, Vaughn.
Well, congrats on the new baby. Congratulations.
Hey, man, I'm father of four. It's great, guys. I'm excited.
What are you doing, man? Hold on, somebody want to ask you. You know, somebody want to ask you some questions.
Uh-oh.
You know, your girl is here from Philly, Taylor.
Y'all the same size.
Say hi to Taylor.
Let me see.
Hi.
You got a joke? I can hear her, but she's got the best jokes ever. Like, they genuinely make me laugh.
Go ahead, go.
What do you call grandma that you're dating?
Go ahead, I don't know.
Obey.
Obey.
It's not that funny. Come on now. It's not that funny.
Y'all call me.
It's not that funny.
All right, you got one more. One more.
No. Okay. What do you call someone with no body and no nose?
What do you call them?
Nobody knows.
It's not that funny. That's not that funny. I'm sorry. Boo! Boo!
Why is Envy this angry? Why is that not funny? These are the people that you just got to question why they're not happy. What is not funny about nobody knows? It's so bad that it's funny. That's brilliant.
That's brilliant? Man.
When did we cross over to the tough branch where laughing is uncool? That fun. I ain't having no fun. That's a funny joke. Two good stock jokes. I love it. I tell her the same thing every time I see her.
Kev, we should tell them a little bit about the Audible situation.
Wait, hold on. Let's do that when we come back. Kev Hart's here.
Damn.
Here's a new special.
Angry, Envy.
We got to tease. You just can't dive in. You got to tease a little bit.
Wow.
Why is your face so close?
Like he's flirting with you.
Back up. Back up, man. Kev Hart here at the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yes, we're back. Kev Hart is here. It's the Breakfast Club. Why are your face so close to the camera? You can't see?
This is why I turn it off when I be Zooming. I don't like people knowing what I'm doing. You know, because you forget that you're on a Zoom. So sometimes I go too close. I can still see y'all, though.
Yeah, we can see you.
I was trying to look and see what's behind Ange. I don't know where she is. Oh, okay. I was like, what studio are you at? I just saw all the alcohol bottles. I said, maybe she's still having a good time right there.
She is.
Okay. I see it now, Ange. I didn't know what that was.
Now, what's your question, Charlamagne?
No, I want to ask Kev about the Audible situation that we just launched. You know, how do you hope the platform with Audible will just help people on their journey, actors, actresses, whoever it is?
Here's what I want people to know, man. Charlamagne and I are doing something strong. And it's because of, like you just said, the opportunity to inform and elevate within our community the opportunity for knowledge, right? There's been a lack of diversity within this audio world of literature. There's an unknown side to it. People don't know that books are available this way within our community, within our culture. And what we want to do is drive a significant amount of talent and creativity to this particular idea, this IP, the world of developing audio literature concepts, autobiographies, stories, attaching our stars of today and yesterday to old IPs of the past and having them read them and voice them and bring light to them, to new ideas and bring light to them. It'll basically generate enough attention to this younger generation to go, oh my God, I want to listen to that. I haven't heard that. I would love to know that story. Oh my God, I would love to be informed or educated on said concept because X, Y, and Z is attached to it now. It's just about making our culture get excited about knowledge. How do we get you to want more knowledge? How do we get you to want to gain as much mental strength as you possibly can to go and do the things that you want to do in life, or simply have things that are constructive to do with your time? You know, a lot of the negative shit that we deal with now comes from people just having too much time on their hands. Mm-hmm. You got too much time when you're doing nothing, and the idle mind is a lost mind. So how do we give you things to occupy your mind and put you in the best place to be the best version of yourself? This is an entity that I truly feel like we'll be able to do that at a high level. I gotta respect and appreciate Charlamagne, not just for his understanding of this world, especially when it comes to audio, but he has a true high level of love for wanting to engage with his culture and uplift his culture. And when you got people that have that mindset, that's the making of a great business. And I truly believe that's where we started with Audible. I gotta give a shout out to them for believing in an idea, investing in an idea, and allowing us to have our own entity underneath their platform to be Black owned and driven towards our community to uplift once again. So, you know, it's a dope thing. A dope fucking thing.
Did you see Lorenz Tate and Lawrence Fishburne? They sold their audio show, Bronzeville. They turning that into a TV show.
This is the type of stuff that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an amazing opportunity. And when you talk about audio show, it's a concept that people might not grasp and realize is real. You right. can have audio content. You know, people are on the move so much now. Everything is on the go so much. So giving you things that you can have while doing the things that you do, especially having it in your ears, that's powerful. It's different for today's time. You know, listening to what could be a movie in your f-ing ears with no picture, having people act out things in your ears. It's a real concept and something that will be a reality and that we are both going to deliver on. I promise you that.
I was going to say, I'm excited for that for you, but I'm also excited that you're remaking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah. Yeah, man, me and Will Smith. That's the first movie that we're gonna do together. Me and Will, we've been in the business. Will's been in it a lot longer than I have. But at the highest point of my career, it's always been crazy that I haven't cracked the code to work with Will. And we've had numerous conversations. And our last conversation, we basically said, you know, like, we gotta figure it out. It's now or never. And if it's not now, you know, we would have done ourselves a disservice. We would have done our city a major disservice. Like, there's no reason for us not to be on the big screen together. And I agree, man. So we sat down and we tried to crack what the concept could be and the remake of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with our personality, with our cadences. It just fit. Out of all the things that came across our desk, this was the one that I said we can deliver and at a high level. So I'm excited about it.
Are you the annoying one, the annoying character, or are you the one that's more straight-laced?
Well, being that I'm annoying, I'm going to go with the annoying character.
I think that would work.
What happened, man? I always wondered how far did y'all get with the production of Hollywood Shuffle. I know you and Chadwick Boseman, God bless the dead, y'all were supposed to do Hollywood Shuffle together, right?
You know, that...
A Harlem Nights. What was the remake? It was one of them.
Uptown Saturday Night.
I'm sorry.
The craziest thing about Chadwick's death that hit me so hard is we were talking. We were talking and we were excited, man. Like I was proud of that brother for all that he was doing. And I was like, yo, you're going to bring a different performance out of me because of how in depth you go within your characters. I said, I can't wait to work with you because you're gonna elevate my performance, because I'm going to have to keep up with you, because you're not coming in to be funny. You're coming in to understand the character and to make sure that you got layers of who this individual is. And that's going to make me do the same thing. And the man was just breaking down the material. He was breaking down the individual. And as he was breaking it down, it made me go back and ask the right questions. And our writer had to constantly go back and change and redefine. And it was based off of Chadwick and his notes. And then the sudden tragedy of him passing away, it hit so hard because we never knew. Nobody never knew, man. And what I respect the most is that he didn't make it anybody else's business, because he didn't want anybody else's pity. He didn't want anybody feeling sorry for him. He didn't want anybody laying out a red carpet because of his illness.
Right.
He wanted to continue to work and get the things that he deserved based off of his talent, based off of his true impact on the business. And nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. Like, he just did productions. He did a movie for Netflix that was shot. He did a movie for Apple that was nobody knew. We were developing Uptown. We're on the phone. We're talking about the character. And as he was losing weight, I was like, he's about to do another role. He never even discussed it. I never even brought it up because I assumed.
Yeah.
Nobody knew. And it shocked me. It hurt me. Because I truly know how good of a dude he was.
Right.
I truly know what he brought to the world of entertainment and to the craft of acting. He was one of a kind, man. And you know, he'll forever be celebrated. But he was this generation's, and he is the Denzel for our generation. He was that.
Right.
Chadwick Boseman was that. As there's something or someone that comes in and replaces a thing that we've seen. And Denzel's gonna be on a pedestal forever, but he was the talent that had the true makings of that machine.
Right.
He was going to be that machine plus more. And even Denzel said it. Even Denzel, mm-hmm. you know, took that man under his wing mm-hmm. and applauded him. So it's just unfortunate, you know? And prayers go out to his family and to all that were impacted by a sudden death. Well, not sudden, because the ones closer to him knew, you know, but it hurts, because I'm like, man, I almost got to work with that brother.
All right, now keep it locked. We got more with Kevin Hart when we come back. Usually we do the rumors, but Kev's here. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Usually we do rumors right here, but Kev Hart's here. Charlamagne?
Does it make you move different, Kev? Because one thing I'm noticing about you now, everything you do has purpose, whether it's the Audible deal where you want to amplify black voices and increase literacy, whether it's the partnership with JP Morgan Chase where you're providing financial literacy. Can you do anything now that doesn't serve a bigger purpose?
I'll be honest with you. I'm almost done. I'm almost at the point now where I'm about to chuck up the deuces and bow out. I don't want to get to a point where I'm not enjoying my craft. I don't want to get to a point where I no longer love doing what I do. And making people laugh, that's my pride and joy. You know, giving people a reason to smile is my pride and joy. When I see what we've become and where we're going, if we don't change, and if it doesn't start to kind of get back to a way of good and positivity, or positive engagement of reception and love and energy, I'm gonna remove myself. Like it's too much. When I think about my family, my kids, my wife, you know, and the energy that I'm putting out, it's going to be better used for other things if it's the tug of war of what can't, what is, what isn't, what's good, what isn't. Like it's becoming just a lot. And at the age 41, you know, I bust my ass. I worked hard. I didn't do it to fucking be miserable at the end of the day. So when you say, does it have an effect on me? Well, my biggest effect now is it's truly not giving a fuck at the level that I once did, because I understand how precious life is.
Wow.
I understand how precious those moments are. And Some people may not until that is almost gone. It's been almost gone for me on numerous occasions for different things, but that light really almost went out. So now I'm, you know, it's not much that's going to bother me or move me like that. It's not much. And because of that, I would much rather, if it got to that point, I'm going to chuck the deuces up.
I got you.
I'm going to chuck the deuces up. I'm 41 years old, and I promise you, I'm not going to be a old man that's angry, that's supposed to be at the top of his game, and that's supposed to be enjoying the benefits from hard work. I'm going to give what I can, and if it's received, dope. If it's not, dope. I'm going to try to put on for my city of Philadelphia and create opportunities for this young generation. If people see that, dope. If they don't, dope. I'm going to try to uplift my community however I can through the times that we're going through. My community realizes it, dope. If they don't see it, dope. I'm not like the world of constantly battling for perspective and opinion and reception, right? Like you're trying to get received or what. I'm 41. I've been in it.
I feel you.
Yeah, I've been in it for a long time. So, you know, my knees are starting to hurt. I've been playing the game for a while. I'm tired of icing my knees. At some point as a basketball player, you turn your back to the basket. You no longer want to jump. You don't want to dunk. And after you start shooting fadeaways and people stop saying that you're playing the way you used to, you go, you know what? I don't want to play no more.
I'm good. I'm going on. Matt, now I'm going to go own the team.
Yeah, I thought I got better with my back to the ball. No, y'all don't think I'm getting better? I'm still averaging the same. You ain't the same. You ain't dunking on people. I know, but I'm still scoring. This doesn't make me better. It doesn't make me smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all don't see that? Okay. I'm gonna go and coach the team that I used to love, and then I'm going to try to own it, and then I'm going to slowly back out.
There you go.
Well, we appreciate you for checking in, brother.
That's right. Zero F's Given is on Netflix right now.
I appreciate y'all. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Streaming everywhere on Netflix, man. Special number seven. Do I get to 10? I don't know. Maybe if I do, dope. If I don't, dope.
You won already, Kev. You already home. You home already.
Brother, I can be honest and I will say this to you guys. I swear to God when I say this, I'm happy.
That's
all that matters.
That to me, that's an achievement. And if you reach that, dope. If you haven't, you know, I pray that you do one day and you get to a place where you're happy with yourself. I enjoy doing what I f***ing love.
Right.
If that ever gets compromised, then I just don't do it anymore. I enjoy it right now. This special is a sign of me doing what I love and me being happy about it. So go see it, man. It's a great concept. It's from the comfort of my home. I'm in my goddamn living room. And I said things that I felt like I wanted to say. If you like it, dope. If you don't, dope. That's my
no. True indeed. Back up, man.
Yeah, you're too close now. All right. All right, well, it's Kevin Hart. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey.
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Donkey of the Day goes to the Jefferson County Grand Jury and Attorney Daniel Cameron in Kentucky. Whoever else was responsible for making sure, for ensuring that justice was not served in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor, this donkey is for you, too. If you haven't heard, a Jefferson County Grand Jury indicted one of the officers, Brett Hankinson, on 3 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment, because jurors said several bullets he fired inside Taylor's apartment March 13th went into a neighboring apartment where a pregnant woman, a man, and a child were home. But neither him nor Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly or Detective Miles Cosgrove were charged with killing Breonna Taylor, an unarmed black woman. Look, I wasn't expecting any type of justice. This is America, okay? When justice is served, I'm shocked. Pleasantly surprised, joyful even, which is whack because we should never celebrate people for doing what they are supposed to do. But when justice isn't served, I honestly don't know what I am. Each case is different. Each case feels different. I was talking to my dear sister Angela Rye last night, and I told her I just feel bad.
Okay, I feel humanly helpless because at the end of the day, as a black man in America, I just want to win. That's all we want, you know, and winning to me isn't being the richest. It's not being the most successful. Winning to me is just being free. What does that mean? I don't know. Winning to me is just simply receiving liberty, equality, and justice. You know, those democratic values they tell us about. Those three words are supposed to represent basic values of democratic political systems. At the bare minimum, a human in this country should be able to get liberty, equality, and justice. But we know that's not the case when you're black. All right? Democratic values are supposed to support the belief that an orderly society can exist in which freedom is preserved, but order and freedom must be balanced, right? So when you see all this civil unrest in the street right now after verdicts like Breonna Taylor happen and people are acting out of order, it's because there's no balance, all right? Order and freedom must be balanced. There will never be order when a people are not free. And it's hard to feel truly free when you don't feel protected, when you know at any moment in this country, you're human. Rights can be violated. See, we keep talking about our civil rights being violated. Let me tell y'all something. In order for one to respect our civil rights, they have to respect our human rights, which is my right to simply live. Okay? What does this country say? I think it's my right to life and liberty. That BS. This country says everyone is entitled to these rights without discrimination. Well, where that's at? Why I don't feel that way? I'm a black man. If it wasn't for my faith in a higher power and my right to bear arms, I would never feel safe in this country. And that's what I mean when I say I want black people to win. A win to me is us as black people feeling protected. Okay? Hard to feel like that when you live in the United States of anxiety. Okay? I want black people to feel like we matter. I want us to be able to, you know, deal with our generational traumas and heal. But we are not ever able to do that because we keep getting re-traumatized over and over in this country. This country will always remind us that black lives simply don't matter. I got a beautiful black wife, three beautiful black daughters. I am a black man. I just, you know, think about it. Today we mad about Breonna Taylor. We still mad about George Floyd. You got Ahmaud Arbery, but all those names are interchangeable with Sandra Bland, Walter Scott, Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Natasha McKenna, Philando Castile. Could be you. Like, it's just too much. And I know, vote in November. Look, I plan to. But please, politicians, don't politicize black pain to scare me into voting, because these injustices happen under Democrats, too. It doesn't matter what party is in power, because once again, this isn't about civil rights. It's about human rights. And white people in this country have always looked at black folks as subhuman. So does it matter who's in office locally, nationally, when we've been watching police and damn near everyone else get away with these types of injustices towards black people forever? Once again, I'm voting, but don't politicize black pain to scare me to vote. Don't tell me how the justice system needs to be reformed. No, because that system was never designed to provide equal justice across the board. Okay, when they say justice for all, they were not talking about black folks. Bernie Sanders hit it on the head when he said in a tweet, Breonna Taylor's life mattered. This result is a disgrace and an abdication of justice. Our criminal justice system is racist. Okay, the time for fundamental change is now. Keywords in that, our criminal justice system is racist. There is no reforming a racist system, okay? You got to overhaul the whole thing from top to bottom. Throw it out. The criminal justice system in America is defective product. Take it off the assembly line. Let's build something new, because this is not working. I don't have the answers. Okay, I'm just telling you how I feel. I hate when I hear politicians get asked about these situations and the first thing they say is, make sure you protest peacefully. We don't need any violence. How about tell that to the cops? Tell them to police peacefully. Tell them we don't need any more violence. Hell, show and prove through actions and deeds and hold them accountable when situations like Breonna Taylor happen. And maybe they will slow down on violence. What are the consequences to their actions? They don't lose their pensions. They don't go to prison. What will ensure that situations like Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and insert black name here don't happen again? All right, these politicians be having more smoke for protesters than they do the police. You have more smoke for the people in pain than the people causing the pain. These politicians love acknowledging the effect, but not the cause. It's sickening, man. It really is. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I have faith in God, okay? I go to therapy to avoid going crazy. And I think every black person in America should own a legal firearm, and you should know how to use it. That's all I got, black people. That's all I got. If y'all got some great ideas, I'm all ears. But at this moment, today, right now, I got nothing. Just like Breonna Taylor's family got nothing in regards to justice. And if there is no justice, there's no peace in the streets. Okay? And that's the way karma works. In America, almighty America, no one, and I mean no one, can escape the law of karma. Please let Remy Ma give the Jefferson County Grand Jury and Attorney Daniel Cameron the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
I wish I didn't have to do it.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best.
The Breakfast Club is back with another memorable interview.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
A whole legend.
That's
God
right.
Damn it.
Charlie Wilson.
That's right.
Welcome, sir.
Uncle Charlie's here.
Thank you, man. Uncle Charlie. What's up, my brother?
A whole legend, God damn it.
Man, I hope I look good. A whole legend.
Thank you, man.
Not a quarter, not a half.
Whole yeah. Legend.
A whole legend.
Yeah, I'm still whole. Been through a lot of I can't believe I'm still
whole?
Put together. Yeah. It's been rough through my life, but I'm good.
Man, I can't wait till I hope I look as good as you when I'm, what you, 67?
Yeah, man.
God this damn,
last week I turned.
Happy birthday, man.
37, that's what
that's your real hairline?
Uh-huh.
God damn, boy.
You're so jealous of people with hair.
Hide your hairline. You know.
You do have an amazing hairline.
If you just, you know, if you start getting bald, just sprinkle some of that on there, you know, be done with it. Man.
Sprinkle what? Give us the secret.
What you sprinkling on there?
Topics if you need it.
Topics make
it? Man, you can make a new hairline. My guy in front right now will sprinkle something on your head.
Oh, no, I don't
hairline.
Want that. Nah. Envy got that.
I definitely don't have that. Mine is real.
No, it's not.
It's natural. Yeah. All berries and juices.
Okay.
Berries and juices.
There you it's go. Transplanted from the back of his head to the
now,
front.
How do you have so much energy at 67? I seen you perform in Aruba. And you killed it. And I was like, how does he still have all that energy?
Man, I didn't get a chance to finish doing what I was doing when I was in my 30s, and I was just pissed off about that for so many years, and so I only know how to perform one way, and that's just that way. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you say you didn't get to finish what you
Well, I mean, everything just turned sour, and so I didn't get a chance to really finish and get where I was trying to go at that time. And so when I asked God for what I needed and what I wanted in life, when he gave me the opportunity to go get that again, I just went hard. I just been going hard ever since, and everybody's like, how in the hell are you, doing what you're doing? It's because I'm ready to do it the right way this time, you know. So
was it bad business deals? Or
man, I was just high.
Drugs. He was high.
I was drugged out, thugged out, everything you want to say. I slept, ended up sleeping under parked cars and parked trucks. Mm. And when I got up, asked God for some, can I get me, send me somebody to help me get out here. And I was going, went to a liquor store. But when I came out, I seen my cousin. Mm-hmm. And we used to get high together. Mm-hmm. But she was your color.
and yellow.
Yeah, she was yellow.
Beige.
She was your color. But when we was getting high, her skin was black patchy marks everywhere.
Yeah, that discoloration.
Yeah, so
kind
you
of
know.
Like Charlemagne, like the patchy.
No, for real. That used to happen to me when I used to drink a lot.
Yeah.
Get them dog marks everywhere.
Yeah. So when I seen her, she was high yellow. I said, damn, cuz, give me a hit. She's like, cuz, I saw them tears rolling. I said, what's wrong with you? She said, you dying. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't weigh about 115 pounds. Wow. Yes, you are, cuz. You got to come on out of this. I was like, come on, cuz. What you talking about? I said, you look good. She said, I've been sober for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I said, 3 years? It's been that long? She said, where you been? I said, I've been out here.
Where was your family at that time? Your brothers, your parents? You just were...
My mom, they lived in Oklahoma, so I was in Los Angeles mm-hmm. on the streets. But, you know, you don't want to go home to mama with that, man.
Yeah.
You know, you're a crackhead, you gotta do it yourself. And so when I saw her, she was said, I've been sober for 3 years. She said, let me just take you to the rehab where I went, and I'm teaching out there. So I promised I would let her do it, and I've been sober ever since.
That was God sending an angel.
That's 25 years ago.
Wow.
Was it no relapses and none of that, no turnarounds.
Wow.
Was it the industry that turned you out? Because I always heard a rumor that Total Experience Records
used to
pay their artists in cocaine. That's what I used to hear. They used to pay the artists roadies in cocaine.
No, it wasn't. He didn't do that. But it could have been a better situation for me. But I handed my situation over to basically like family members.
Taking care of everybody else before you take care of yourself.
Yeah, and so I was left with nothing.
Damn. Wow. So that took you into, like, depression maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, and in the streets, you know, it was always gangsters, pimps, and dope dealers. Mm-hmm. And so they all just took care of whatever I needed. They would just give it to me.
Because everybody knew you.
Yeah, so it wasn't like I spent all my money on it because I never had to spend no money on no drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, it just ended up taking me out the game, period.
Damn. So you was a crackhead.
Oh, man. I snorted, but after a while, man, I had a hole in my nose.
Wow.
Damn. Really? For real? Burned a hole in your nose?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's when that was good. That was their that's raw uncut.
Yeah. So when they chopping their bag up, there was just a hunk.
Yeah.
Goodness.
There you go.
They used to make you sing for it or nothing?
I ain't doing that. What do you think I am?
I'm just saying, you know what I mean?
No, I ain't did that.
You think
it's Gator?
Hell no, I ain't finna do that.
No, man.
Come on, do one of them ooh-wees for me, mother.
What you do?
You know what I'm saying? No, I ain't do that. But it was like, where you been, Charlie? I would always say, I've been in the studio all night, man. He said, come on in here, man. Take a shower or something. You don't look that good. Here, I got some on the table in there for you. Go take a shower and then leave when you want to. Just lock the door. And it'd be like that.
Man.
But I was sleeping on the side of the building behind the bushes or sleeping under the U-Haul trucks that was in the parking lot.
What about your old music industry friends? They didn't...
Man, come on, man. Nobody want to... Which, when you're looking like that.
Yeah.
Now, what about your brothers? Because they were in the group with you in the Gap Band.
Well, let's go back. Let's tell the history of Charlie Wilson. Mm-hmm. If people who don't know, I'm sure there's some youngins that might not know.
Legendary group, the Gap Band.
Now, how did you get your start in the music industry? And for people that don't know who Charlie Wilson is,
first of all, I was a young buck. Me and my friends, mm-hmm. we played music. So before teenage years, we had a band. Mm-hmm. And we called ourselves the GT, Carver GTs or something like that. We were young, like 12 mm-hmm. years old. So we used to play in the YMCA on Wednesdays mm-hmm. for the classmates. And like about after a month, it was just like, it was more teachers than students. Because see, we played like grown people. We was right. 12 years old.
Right.
And so I became first name bassist with the teachers. And so, you know, women, you know what happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 12. That female teacher's probably about 22.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already living a grown life, sort of like.
Wow, you knocking off the teachers at that age?
Come on, man.
Well, that's called, that's called, we know now that's molestation.
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is.
But back then.
I mean, you didn't know. You didn't know to think there was going to be that, you know, whatever, but.
Started for me at 8 years old with a 20-something-year-old woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, I was hanging out with grown people, though.
What's the teacher name? Let's meet to her real quick. What's her name?
No.
So now, how did the Gap Band get created?
So, I was, that band that we had, we got a little old, we started playing Happy Hours.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, we about 14 or 15, and then the place is packed. And so this band was across the street. Was when my oldest brother was in that band, and they was like, man, who's across the street? They said, your little brother over there, man. He over there turning it out. And so he's like, man, you need to get out this band. And I was like, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. I'm going to tell mama you in here then.
I'm going to tell mama you in here playing.
They said, you over at Dino's house, you know, sleeping, y'all staying all night with each other on the weekends. I was like, hey. I said, yeah, we back and forth. And mama said, over his house, back at our house. He said, no, you've been playing here because I've been hearing about it. I said, anyway, long story short, after we got to high school, I decided, you know, he was like, man, you got to get out this band, man. Come get in this band while I'm in. I was like, and we was getting ready to graduate. We was trying to figure out what college we was going to. Everybody's going to different colleges. And I said, okay.
His band was already called the Gap Band?
It wasn't the Gap Band at that time, but it was like, we ended up calling it that. The Greenwood Archer and Pine Street Band.
All right, we got more with Charlie Wilson when we come back. Now, if you don't know about Charlie Wilson, you might know some of his classic records. So we're going to do a mini mix. All right, it's going to be some records that you heard and be like, oh, that was Charlie Wilson? Yes, that's what we're going to do right now. Your favorite Charlie Wilson joints is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking with OG legend Charlie Wilson. You might know him from the group The Gap Band. Charlamagne?
I was going to ask you, what's the cultural significance of the group name The Gap Band? I was going to ask you, yeah. What does that mean?
Greenwood, Archer, and Pine Street Band.
This is all neighborhoods.
It was Greenwood was where Black Wall Street was. Mm-hmm. All rich black people, multimillionaires, had their own bus companies, had their own grocery stores, their own black-owned banks.
That's right.
Everything there. And then
the white man came and blew it all up.
Burned it up. Because this black dude and this white chick was having sex, going with each other. But that was really hush-hush in the 20s. And they was in the same building. They come down the elevator together. And open up on that ground floor, and all them white people's there, so she come out screaming.
You raped me.
Yeah, well, she just come out screaming, so they just grabbed him and dragged him. So, because they like, you know, you ain't supposed to be in no elevator with no white woman. So they couldn't say that they had been doing anything, so they just beat him, and then they started burning things. And then they started, the police was knocking on doors, and if black people answer the door, they shoot them. Kill them, yeah.
Yep.
So he's trying to wipe out all of North Tulsa.
That's such an important story that I feel like still hasn't been told the right way. I think people need to see that. Right. They kind of flirted with it in that the HBO show The Watchmen. But it's like, yo, people need to see that because black people have built these great communities, but they've been snatched away from us.
Driving. Absolutely. Well, they were, see, the white community was really mad at that, at this black community because they had everything. Didn't need anything. They didn't have to come out of that community for nothing. Mm-hmm. And they was mad because the black people wouldn't go and work for them anymore because they had it all.
Is that story told in Tulsa a lot? Because I always wondered, like, what was taught to kids growing up in Tulsa
to teach
them the importance of having their own?
Basically, it was not supposed to be talked about at all. So the people, the blacks that lived long said, don't ever bring that up, ever.
Really?
Because if the white police officers, if you said, tell me what happened, and if they started talking about what happened, then they just kill them.
Wow.
Yeah.
What has kept the Gap Band from, like, being seen as one of, like, the upper echelon groups in R&B, you think?
You're a product of your environment, your association with people. See, let me just say this. If you're a known pimp or if you're a known drug dealer and you go get these kids over here and you're trying to promote them, then nobody going to hardly mess with you. Or if you're a gangbanger, nobody want to be bothered with that. So, right now, gonna push you over here with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be like, no, I don't wanna have nothing to do with that. This dude's crazy. Never know what he's gonna do, you know. So, we did it the best way we could do.
Do you know how big We Can Make It All Right was for DJs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was my wedding song.
Really?
Yeah.
We can make it all right.
The acapella.
Yeah. Like, we've had a share of troubles. Anymore than others. Well, who else told me that?
With a little love and understanding.
Woo! Climbing the mountains.
Envy, you ruined it.
Man,
but as long as it's you and me, girl.
Man, that's God, man.
There is no.
That's not God. That's the absence of God. When you sing, that's God. That's
first
God.
Night. We kiss.
Ooh,
that's my
joy. I knew it were forever.
About to call my wife right now.
No, he really will, too.
God.
Next thing you know.
How many times do people call you to do private singing things for Valentine's and stuff?
Oh, man, they call a lot. But they don't have enough. They don't have enough.
They don't have enough money.
No, they don't have enough. So we just kindly just turn them down. We basically, we him, my manager over there, he don't say you don't have enough money. He say, I'm sorry, we're busy right now. We can't do it.
It's got to be at least one person that paid Charlie Wilson to come sing for him.
Oh, yeah. Privately. I mean, I did go.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Who?
Magic.
I played for Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I played for the Kardashians, Chris.
Chris Jenner.
Michael Jordan.
Just at the house.
No, no, he had his function.
Yeah.
But you know, Magic Johnson is a big fan. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan is a big fan. I'm a big fan of his. And so it was like, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was in a car. They parked in front of a store. And there's two chicks got up. My wife was in the store. And I was playing one of my songs I had been working on. And it had just came on. So I was listening at it to see how I can remix it. I was just listening in the car. So she got up. She said, she opened up the door and let her sister out, and she closed the door. She looked over there, and I turned the music up. She said, hey, who are you? Why are you playing that so many times? I said, I'm trying to learn, make sure I learn my lyrics. Yeah, right. Like you some damn Charlie Wilson. You ain't no goddamn Charlie Wilson.
Wow.
So I said, no. I said,
I am,
but it's, she said, man, you know what? She said, well, where your wife at? I said, she in there. She's like, yeah, right. And then her sister came out screaming and with my wife. And I said, there my wife is. And she said, she started screaming. Then she said, I'm getting married. My daddy got the money. Trust me. I just got you to need you to play for my wedding. But I was at that time, I was like, you know what? I'm not finna turn into the damn wedding singer, that's for sure. So
you ain't do it?
You do a bar mitzvah or something like,
man,
why not?
You got the money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You didn't
do
it. You got
the money, huh?
You didn't do it
now. Man, I wrote it down, and by that time, my manager done booked some shows, and we booked by then.
Yeah.
How do you decide who you want to work with? Because a lot of these artists now want to work with Charlie Wilson so badly. Mm. Obviously, you know, you and Bruno Mars, Tyler, mm-hmm. the Creator.
Yes.
We know you have a great relationship with Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you decide? Because I'm sure there's artists that are doing really well, putting up those numbers, but it has to go on brand with what it is that you do, too.
Mm. They called. I seen a few of them, excuse me, at the Grammy Awards. I was getting up at the same time, the superstar rapper and his superstar wife. Mm-hmm. He's like, damn, I'm standing in front of Charlie Wilson. God damn, man. Can I get some of that? You know, just like a verse or a hook. I was like, yeah, man. It don't matter. You and your wife can come on. We can do it. But I can't oblige everybody, you know, because I'm so busy.
You talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce, right?
You trying to guess, and I ain't going to tell you
it's
that.
It's not superstar rapping and superstar wife.
Well, it's a bunch of my deal.
I was going to meet Migos, Cardi, or meet Migos.
Oh, Kanye, maybe?
It's a bunch Kanye. Of... I always work with Kanye, but Offset. I'm just saying, it could be. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't ever say it. I would love to work with Offset and Cardi B. Don't play.
Offset, Cardi, make that happen now. Come on now.
Yeah, so it's
Cardi got an album coming out soon.
She sure does.
Yeah. I got one coming out soon, too.
So. Yo, know Albert, there we go.
You know what I'm saying? I know you probably had that little problem doing what you do. Well, sometimes you try to go on the road with somebody. I treat you right, give you the number you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Because me and you going to set the building on fire.
All right, we got more with Charlie Wilson. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. The OG, the legend is here. Charlie Wilson's in the building. Charlamagne?
Didn't Snoop almost make you relapse one time? I heard a story about that. He was in the studio smoking weed and your wife.
No, I wasn't a weed smoker anyway. Snoop Dogg couldn't make me relapse.
It was your wife that was like, we ain't doing that.
I wanted to do some work with Snoop. It was the first time I had seen him since. He said he saw me. And she put an A before S, anything. So a Snoop.
A Snoop?
A Snoop. So they was all smoking. Tupac, everybody was in there smoking. And so Snoop came, and then he was like fired up. She's like, a Snoop, I'm sorry. Could you put that out? He was like, excuse me? She said, you gotta put that out. My husband can't come in there with you smoking that. He said, word? She said, I'm gonna take him home then. He said, no, that's okay. She said, he's clean and sober. I must have been like my first year or second year.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen him putting it out, man. He said, man, y'all put that out. I can't come in here if you put that out. So everybody put it out. I went in there and did the songs and
what year was this?
96, 97.
Tupac wasn't there in 97, then.
96?
Yeah, he died in 96, early, late 96.
Yeah, 96. It was, somewhere, it was somewhere in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did you know she was doing that, or did she just...
No, she didn't care if I knew or not. Right. She just straight tell them. She tell all them gangsters and all them death row gangsters and that. Y'all got to put that out. I'm not going to let him come in here. So they was like, oh, the old world. One time I went to Snoop's house, and I made him stop smoking for a year.
Really? Why?
Yeah, remember he said he quit smoking?
Yeah.
I took him in his own kitchen and had a conversation with him that he didn't like, and then he just sit there and just said, with them frowns a little bit, I said, you got to stop, man. You got to stop. He said, for real? I was like, hey, man, you got a wife in there, and you got them little ones in there, you got to stop. And so he's like, okay.
I can't
so
even.
So he went up, got in there, come back with a box, shoe box, he had something in there, dumped it in the trash can.
Damn.
And dumped it. I said, go get the rest of it. He went in there and got some other one and dumped it. And so I said, I know you got something here, but that's okay. I just want you to throw it all away. So I went home, and a week later, I talked to Sean, his wife, and she said, Uncle Charlie, what you say to Snoop? I said, why? He ain't smoked nothing since you left. As a matter of fact, he throwing everything out. And he lasted about a year.
What did you say what did you say to him to make him stop?
Like, well, I just basically was just saying, hey, man, you know, you got family. Family's more important than this right here, you know? And so we just got to just put a curve on it, and let's just go and do the right thing. You know, I'm doing the right thing. You should do the right thing. Let's just do it and take care of family, take care of your life, take care of your health. You know, write some great music, and let's just go. And he says, that sound good to me, and that's what he did.
You got Kanye to turn to God too, right? I heard that you told Kanye.
Man, I've been talking to him for so long about just life and God and stuff. Cause everybody used to look at me like. Because, man, I testify on my shows.
That's right.
And get to shouting right there after that. Have 18,000 people shouting with me, you know, and then go right in the outstanding after that or something. But, you know, you got to, you know, pass it on. You know, some people are having problems and you know it.
So you think you the reason Kanye turned to God in that way?
Well, I'm not going to claim that, but you know what I'm saying? I used to talk to him a lot about, you know, that. And I talked to all of my superstar nephews, I call them. You know, it's like, hey, man, come on, we got to do this right thing. And, you know, I said, you know me. I don't care nothing about this thing you got going up in here. Don't nobody take this picture. Don't nobody, you know, I got my phone. I got my phone. Hell, I ain't finna put my phone nowhere.
You don't know how to use that phone.
The flip up? What's wrong about that? The Captain Kirk flip up? That's what I got. They said, this ain't no smartphone. I said, it's a smart. What the fuck, excuse me? I was a smart one with the phone, so we're good.
I love the way you talk about your wife. You said that you weren't even living until you met her. You just was existing.
Man, I was existing. Mm. I met her in a rehab. When I got to that rehab, I was in bad shape. So I had a little something in my pocket. I've been trying to hit it for a week. Then she knocked on the door. I said, how you doing, ma'am? She's like, you need to participate more in these classes. You know, you're falling asleep now. And she said, I know why you're falling asleep, because you're detoxing, your body's detoxing. But you gotta participate. You gotta find these tools for the rest of your life. So she said, what you gonna do when you get out of here? Then I broke down there, man. I was like, I don't have nowhere to go. And she said, well, what do you mean you don't have nowhere to go? I said, I don't have nowhere to go, I'm homeless. She was like, homeless? And you don't have nowhere? I said, no, man. So she said, Wednesday, I'm gonna take you to look for you a place to live. So Wednesday came, and she got me a pass. I got in her car, and she took me for a place. And it was three-car garage, house upstairs, downstairs, I think 4 or 5 bedrooms or something like that. Next day we went, and she found the furniture, filled the whole place up with furniture.
How'd you pay for this house?
Hold on, man. I ain't got a dime. So she put the furniture in, and I said, okay, what about the car? She was like, I ain't giving you no car because, you know, your subconscious is going to take you to the drug house, dope house, the liquor store. So I said, well, I can't be in here by myself, man. I was just like, I don't know what you're looking at me for. I don't know you like that. I was like, well, it sure be nice if you stay here with me.
You ain't say it like that.
Oh, man, I did. I was kind of calm. I'm trying to sneak up on her, but
that's
you know.
That's that old school G right there.
You sure you ain't singing to her?
No, I hadn't sing it yet, but okay. She didn't even know who I am. She don't know nothing about no R&B music at that time anyway.
So she paid for the house and the furniture?
She bought it all. She paid for it all. Long story short, I did talk her into staying there. She said, first she kept saying, I don't know you like that. But anyway, one day I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you something about me. If I leave out this house by myself, going somewhere, only being in this rehab for only 28 days, I'm telling you now, I'm going to die out there. Mm. It won't be another chance for me. So she moved in with me, and she told me, she said, one day she said, we'll be in here 1 year, and I guarantee you, after this 1 year is up, you're gonna buy your own house. I was like, how's that? She said, you'll see, come on. We was in that house 1 year, and the spirit said, get in the car. We started driving. She said, where you going? I was all up in Sand Canyon. This is what these big mansion houses is. And she was like, why are you looking at these big houses like this? It's just me and you. Why do you want it? And I couldn't answer the question. I started driving again and found this neighborhood, and the spirit told me to pull up in the house, the main house where they do the business. Mm-hmm. So I went in there. The lady who said, how y'all doing? Come on in. And I said, well, the spirit told me to come here. She said, okay, sit on down. I was looking around. I said, oh, this is kind of nice, man. And so this couple came in. He said, yeah, can we look? And the lady said, I'm sorry, y'all. This house is sold. And then when they left, I said, why you didn't tell me it was sold? She said, you said the spirit told you to come here, right? She said, this is your house.
Wow.
And we, from there, we got the house.
Wow.
And went to try to close, and my wife had a check, and they didn't accept it. So the lady came out, Charlie, where's your faith? Here, take these keys. I'll pay that for you. And she paid it.
What lady? The lady that
was working at that.
What?
Yeah, she paid it. And yeah, my wife said, I'll give you the money tomorrow, the next day, whatever it was. So she paid it, didn't know who I was, didn't know who my wife was, but that was just God, was the blessing of God, just gave, put this woman in front of us. And we got that house, and I stayed there a few years. We decorated the backyard and swimming pool.
You got away with women, man. Yeah, you was 12, sleeping with teachers. You went to the rehab, ended up with a wife, got a free house
got
from
a free
woman.
House for a little
can't
bit.
Take you nowhere. Well,
Charlie got to go, guys. So we got to.
What you mean, Charlie got
to
go?
He has to go. He has other things.
God damn.
Well, introduce your record right now. Now you got to go. Introduce the record. Let's play the record right now.
My name is Charlie Wilson. My new single is called Forever Valentine, produced by Bruno Mars, Stereotypes, and D-Mile. Man, you can't get no better than that. Come on.
I think, Charlie, I know you do church at the show, man. I think you should just leave us with a prayer. Because
prayer.
You've been blessed, man. I think it's only right, man.
Unless you want to sing a gospel song or something.
Either or.
Close it out in the back here. Father, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross. Father, I ask you to bless each soul in this room. Every person in this room, Father, we ask you to continue to bless, touch them as they go, Father. Keep us all safe and sound as we travel. We thank you for the Breakfast Club and each person that supported this organization. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor goes to you, Father. All these blessings we ask it in Jesus' name be done. Thank God. Amen.
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 Amen. Charlie Wilson. We're going to get us some free houses now.
That's right.
And women everywhere we go.
You blessed and highly favored. You said it.
Charlie Wilson with the
man,
Breakfast
y'all
Club.
Y'all something else. Y'all get me started on something. Have me talking for an hour.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
Now, the positive note is simply this. You are where you're supposed to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of God's plan.
The Breakfast Club.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.